From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. A new video has surfaced in Iraq showing an American hostage pleading for his life. Roy Hallams was abducted last November while working for a Saudi catering company in Baghdad. The video is the first public confirmation of his kidnapping.
It was another violent day on the streets of Baghdad. A senior judge was assassinated, and at least three policemen were killed in battles with insurgents.
Insurgents have vowed to disrupt this weekend's election. On Sunday, Iraqis will select a national assembly. To get a sense of the mood before the vote, NPR's Anne Garrels spent some time with three women in a Baghdad office. Here's her report.
U.S. helicopters rumble overhead following yet another car bombing. It was close to this engineering company's office in central Baghdad. Cell phones ring as worried relatives call in to check on family members. Among the Iraqi employees for this foreign firm are three women, two Christians and a Shiite Muslim. They call themselves family, a bond forged by love of their jobs and the danger they share just by going to work every day. No one wants their real name used because they've all been threatened. Sarah, a pseudonym this 48-year-old Christian has chosen, is an engineer with a taste for stylish Western clothes.
It's very dangerous. When I leave home, I should be very careful watching who is behind me.
She's under pressure from her family to quit, and not just because of the danger. Her children have turned against the Americans.
They said they came and invaded Iraq, so how you are? Even my children tell me, how do you go and help them? So I tell them, we are rebuilding Iraq. We are working for Iraq, I'm not working for the Americans.
These three women all welcome the American-led invasion and with it the overthrow of Saddam. They don't want to go back to the past. But they say the present is all but intolerable because the Americans were woefully ill-prepared for the aftermath.
We thought at the beginning that when the Americans will come, really we were happy. But after 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, we lost the hope that the country will be developed.
Zina, her co-worker, is a 28-year-old Shiite Muslim. In appearance, she couldn't be more different. She dresses conservatively, wearing a floor-length skirt, her hair hidden by a scarf. While also disappointed by the Americans, Zina is excited about the opportunity to vote. For security reasons, she doesn't yet know where her local polling station will be, and given that no cars will be allowed on the streets on Election Day, she isn't sure how she'll get there. She lives in a Sunni neighborhood where most people are against the elections. Her excitement is tempered by fear.
We are so scared of it. We are so scared to go to vote, because Sistani said that you have to go to vote, so we are going to vote.
By ordering Shiite Muslims like Zina to get out and vote, Ayatollah al-Sistani, the leading Shiite religious figure, wants the Shia at last to have the power that reflects their 60% majority here. But Zina is not going to vote for the slate of candidates which was drawn up under Sistani's auspices. Though a devout Muslim, she will vote for the current Prime Minister, Ayad Alawi.
Because he wants to keep the security in the Iraq and he wants to keep us in progressing, developing also.
The coalition of Shiite groups recently said clerics will be excluded from top positions. But Zina says she and her friends don't want any hint of religion in a future government.
It's not public, it's just in personal things, it's just inciting, believe in what you believe. Just the freedom and religion. I just believe in that, freedom and religion.
Sarah, the engineer, also plans to vote unless attacks on the day keep her away. And she, too, is going to vote for Prime Minister Ayad Alawi's party because she says he embraces Iraqis of all stripes. But she confesses she thinks he's really just the best of a bad lot. Their colleague, 28-year-old Maria, a Christian, says she won't vote.
I'll enjoy when I hear that there is the first time we have to vote freely, but I'm afraid it's not safety. And who? I don't see anything from this, I don't know. Which one the better, I don't know.
Under Saddam, she knew who to be afraid of. Now, she doesn't know who to trust. Maria would like to believe elections will make life better, but like her co-workers, she can only hope conditions don't deteriorate even more. What all three women want most in the future comes down to three words they utter like a prayer: security, electricity, and water. Anne Garrels, NPR News, Baghdad.